Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
It's good to have everybody. It's good to see you. You ever heard that little jingle that said, "We're laughing, it's pouring. Church is no longer boring." Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's good to be here. I know y'all thinking, okay, it's going to be one of those days. It's already one of those days. It's a day that He created, and we are supposed to what?
Rejoice.
All right, how about rejoicing? Yes, Lord. Rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you are glad? How many of you are not glad? No. We'll have a deliverance session right here, you know, and get it all done. You know, we're going to talk to you a little bit. Actually, it's just going to be a little introduction because we won't get into some other things until next week. But I want to talk to you about understanding our walk in the Spirit. It's confusing to a lot of people, and a lot of times we say I'm walking in the Spirit when we're really not. You know, so we have to have a greater understanding of how to walk in the Spirit of God. We won't go into much detail today, but we will talk about what is one of the biggest hindrances against us in walking in the Spirit of God. I will say this right off, that your successful walking in God will not be successful, or your walk in God will not be successful if you're not walking in the Spirit. So your walk with God won't have a lot of success. It'll have some, but it won't have a lot of success unless we learn and understand how to walk in the Spirit of God. You know, Daniel says this, Daniel 11, says this, that the enemy, he'll cast out, he'll bring out and throw flatteries down for a lot of people. How many of you know that flattery in the Bible is a net for you to trip on? It's a net that is put before your feet, and when you start walking in that flattery, you'll trip up, you'll fall. So don't be flattered. Don't take on the flattery too much when the enemy tries to flatter you in certain things. And like I said, we'll be one of those things. I told Pastor Russell, you're not all that. And we're not all that either. He is everything. Everything that he is, you are. But we're nothing without Him. We're nothing without the Lord. We don't have anything of our own that measures up to anything of what He is. What we are today is because of His mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His deliverance, His provision. Everything that we are is because of Him. But you know, in Daniel, it talks about the flattery of the enemy, but he says, but there are those who know their God. Say that, who know their God. And those that know their God will be strong. Say, be strong. And we'll do great exploits. In other words, we'll be strong, and we'll be at a place to take action. See, we're not born again to be sitters. We just don't sit. Now, we do sit in a congregation like this to be able to hear and what God is saying. But see, this is not our constant position. We do have times that we are to rest. But we have to be able to take a stand. Everybody say, take a stand. See, Christians, we are people that need to be able to take a stand. Yes? So when we see things that the enemy's doing, and we're discerning what the enemy's doing, we need to be able to take the stand of truth and take the stand which God is saying. That's what we're here for. That is our, that's the first thing about, after we rest, we take a stand and we continue to walk. We continue to walk. Everybody say, continue to walk. So, you know, the more I know, the more I learn, the more I know about God. You may be this way, you may not, but the more I know about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the less I really know. I realize that in learning more, there's so much more to know. Are you that way? The more I learn about God and learn about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because we've not exhausted anything. You know, there's some of us that's in this room that has been saved for 20, 30 years, more than that. And there's some in this room that just got born again just a few weeks ago or just recently. But see, we're all in the same place. We really are. We're in Him, and we want to know more about Him. No matter how much you know, there's always more to know. And more than likely, there's more to know than what you already know. You may know this amount, but there's so much more that you don't know that He's wanting to give us, that He's wanting to show us, and that He's wanting to reveal to us. And we got to be at that place that even in our own history of our walk in Him. See, there's some that have known Christ for so many years because he's the Savior, but they don't know Him as Lord, which means we don't follow Him as Master, but we want Him as our Savior, the one who forgives us. See, our history has to be more than we were born again. That is a very significant date, very significant time in our lives of coming to know Him and having a repentance of our sin, a repentance of how we walked in our life prior to Christ. And knowing that is just the beginning. There's so much more to know Him as a provider, as the Master, as the Lord, as the teacher, you know, through the Holy Spirit, and as the healer. How many of you have ever been touched by the Lord and healed you? He has actually healed you before of something. Do this for me. I want you to just take a note and look. See, we've experienced Him as a healer. See, and if you haven't been healed, you don't know that experience. If you haven't been saved, you don't know that experience. So there's a lot more of Him that we need to know and to experience. The more we know and experience of God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to be able to walk in the Spirit of God. So as you study the Bible, you begin to understand that God desires one thing. He has a huge desire for this one thing, and that is to dwell amongst His people. That was it at the very beginning, to dwell with Adam and Eve, to dwell with His people, to live with His people, to be amongst His people without us being afraid of Him. We can revere Him and have great respect for Him, but not be afraid that He's going to get. I grew up in church when I was little, and I heard a lot said, you know, God's going to get you. You know, and that used to just frighten me so. I mean, you know, because I knew God had to be big. You know, I didn't know how big, but I knew He was big enough to get me. You know, I couldn't hide from Him. But see, it was promoting a fear in me that you can't really get close to God, because once you mess up, you're done for just about. You know, and that's a wrong teaching. That's a teaching that tries to control people with a message or a ministry, or a minister tries to control the behavior of people, and we never can. Now, we can try to control it, but that's not the way of God. The way of God is freedom. Freedom is messy, as you heard me say before. Freedom is messy, but try being without freedom. That's very oppressing and depressing to be without freedom. But Adam and Eve walked with God in an unbroken communion before the fall. Enoch walked with God for over 300 years. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. God told Moses, I want you to come up on this mountain and meet with me. Can you just imagine that? But I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm saying that to my people today. Come on, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you a little bit. I want us to commune together a little bit. But see, sometimes even in our day, we have this fear of approaching God because we feel like we can't go there because he is so holy and he is so righteous that we can't get there without being burned up by him or consumed by him. But see, Jesus took care of all of that. And that was God's plan from the beginning for his son to take care of, to pave the way for us to be able to come boldly with confidence, even when we're not walking right. You can go to him with boldness. See, our human nature is that when I do something wrong, we do something wrong. We run from God. Adam and Eve did that. Go hide from God. And then we think we have to work this out of us before we can go to him. And we can't do that. The only way to go to him is to yield and just go to him. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace, the empowerment of God. He says, I invite you to come. See, he invited Moses to come up the mountain and I want to meet with you. He said in the Bible, said, build an elaborate tent and I will fill it with my presence. You know what that tells me? When you do what God tells you to do, he will fill it with his presence. Whatever that is that God is telling you to do, that the Spirit is leading you to do, he's saying it'll be full of my presence. Why? Because we're acting in obedience. We're acting with a commitment to God to be able to do this thing even though we don't understand it. Do you think Noah understood what an ark meant? They'd never seen rain. And by the way, that was a big boat. But he obeyed God and took the tongue lashing from society and his neighbors. Laughter, mocking, that he's doing something that's just unheard of. And then God, in his mercy, says, okay, my people don't want to be around me. Because they're telling Moses, we don't want him to talk because it's smoke and the mountain trembles and the earth trembles. And look, you go and talk to God, and you come back and tell us what he said. See, that's the people saying God's too fearful. We're afraid. We're just afraid. So you tell us what God has said. You know, there's people that's that way today. They don't want to hear what God has to say to them, but they want to hear what the preacher has to say that God is saying. And sometimes some preachers are not saying what God is saying. I'm not saying all, I'm saying some. So we have to be careful with that. But anyway, he said build a temple. And then when they built the first temple, God, the Bible says that God filled that temple, filled that place to a certain amount that the priest could not minister to the people. They fell to their face because the heaviness of God's presence was so much. That's how much God wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to celebrate him. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to hear the Spirit, hear the voice of God. And he wants us to be a people that know their God, know who God the Father is, know who Jesus is, know who the Holy Spirit is, and become strong so that we can do great exploits, so we can do great things, so we can take action. What action? The action that is in need for the moment. Say that, the action that is in need of the moment. All of our life is built up of moments. And we need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit got, you know, the truth. How much truth did you find without the Holy Spirit? None. Even about being born again, it was spirit driven. It was spirit leading. And he brings us, so he said, the Bible says he guides us into how much truth? Did he leave any out? No, he said all truth he'll guide you into. But we have to be willing to follow. Follow, being led by the Spirit to find that truth that he wants us to discover. To find that nugget that he's unraveling and just unearthing, so you can actually see how precious what he's about to say is to you. Because you need it for that moment. But see, we sometimes so ignore the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We so ignore that sometimes we're just not conscious of it. And that's the reason we're going to be talking about, you know, how to be led by the Spirit of God. But this one thing today I want to share with you is that he wanted to live with his people and dwell with his people and be in his people. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you are not the all temple. You are the temple. All of us are a temple of the Holy Spirit for him to dwell in us. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. Even your husband. That sometimes you say, man, where is he coming from? Are you sure you're hearing God? You understand what I'm saying? So even in those moments that we mess up, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is leading us to a place of seeing how righteous we are in him, because he has given us who he is. And even with Jesus, the days where he came to earth and he died, he was buried and he resurrected, and before he was resurrected, he said, "I want you guys to go and meet and stand and wait, because the Holy Spirit is going to come." They already have the Holy Spirit in them. In John 20, he said, he blew breath, the Spirit, breath, the Spirit, pneuma, into them after he had resurrected. He blew and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That ought to have been his disciples for 3 years, 3.5 years. They were being discipled before they were born again. Huh? Yeah. They were his disciples before they were born again. Then John 20, after his resurrection, he blew and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "All right, and I want you to go and I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to wait." Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming. They already have the Holy Spirit. But he said the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do what needs to be done. And he said, "You'll be my witnesses," which that word witnesses means martyrs. In other words, you'll be empowered so that you wouldn't mind giving your life for him. You'd be a martyr for me. How many of you know that takes empowerment? A commitment to the very love of God in our lives. But he said, and he actually said that the Holy Spirit will come upon. That means upon you, not in you. Upon. He said, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. If the disciples already had the Holy Spirit in them when they was walking with him, why would he say, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," after his death, burial, and resurrection? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were being led by Jesus, and they were being empowered with his word when he sent them. like Peter was empowered with his word when the sea is doing this, and Peter's the bold one in the group, and he said, if it's you, bid me, tell me to come out there. That's pretty bold. Raging sea, waves, and he's out standing on the waves. And he empowers Peter to do something. What did he empower Peter to do? Walk on water. But what was he really walking upon? He was walking upon the word, Jesus' word, come. He walked on the word, come, which caused him to not sink. So Jesus' words are very important. So when he sent them out, he sent them out with his authority. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They had the authority on them from that word. So the Holy Spirit is upon us at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for others. The Holy Spirit inside me is for me. Inside me, the indwelling of the Spirit is for me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is upon me for others. That's the reason we have gifts. When we have the gifts, and by the way, we're talking about gifts on Wednesday night, all the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts that we have are for other people. See, it's a misuse of gifts when we use it for our own advantage. It's a gift from God to be able to use for other people. Not just for us. You know, so, oh, wow, I prophesied today. Well, you know, it's almost like la-di-da. I'm not against prophesying, but it's the same thing as telling Russell. We're not all that. It is his gift being used for others. When we can start consuming it to our own selves, that's when we start operating by the flesh and not by the Spirit. So Acts 2 happens, and everybody say 10 years later. Now you're going to be amazed at this, because I was. Well, maybe not. You probably already know it. It just takes me a while longer to get things. But 10 years later is Acts 10. There's 10 years between Acts 2 and Acts 10. And we're also going to go to Acts 15. There's another 10 years between Acts 10 and Acts 15. So we're going to look at two pictures. That's one picture of 20 years from Acts 2. Everybody say 20 years. And here's the amazing thing. And here's one of the biggest hindrances to walking in the Spirit of God. So here it is in Acts, Acts 10. I'm not going to read all of it. You can go there and read. But Cornelius is a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and he has a vision because he's devout to God. Some scholars think that he is the first Gentile converted to Christianity. But anyway, he gets a vision from an angel and says, send men out to get Peter and invite him to come to your house. Now, number one, that's against the law. A Jew cannot go into the home, cannot associate with a Gentile, with an unbeliever. They couldn't associate with him and couldn't go in the house. So all of a sudden, Cornelius is getting this from the angel of the Lord to go get Peter and invite him to come to your home. So the next day, he does that. He sends somebody to go get him because they tell him where he's at. So the next day, Peter gets into a trance. He goes up on the rooftop and he's hungry. And he falls into a trance. Some people say, well, he just went to sleep. Well, my Bible says trance, but it's okay with me, you know. Well, I don't believe in people getting in a trance. And I said, you haven't looked at people much. Never mind. I see people in trances all over the place. Anyway, stay away from the comedy. Do the scripture. All right, I get it. But anyway, he sees this train, and he sees this large sheet coming down from four corners, and inside this large sheet are unclean animals, unholy and unclean animals. And he hears a voice saying, "Peter, rise, kill, and eat." Now, this is going to, this really sort of set it in place for me. Peter don't know what this is, but he responds and he responds and says, "By no means, Lord. By no means. I will not eat anything unholy, unclean." And it happened three times. It just dawned on me just this past 2 weeks in studying this. What is he following? It's been 10 years since the Holy Spirit came upon them. What are they following? The law. They're following the law at that time because he said, "I'm not eating that. Nope, not going to do it." And it happens three times. I'm not eating it. Can't eat anything unclean. Can't be around anything unclean. But Peter does not know the meaning of what God just showed him. The Spirit tells Peter, go with him. Go with them. These men's coming, go with them. And you take some of your Jewish friends with you. Peter arrives and gets there to Cornelius' house, an unclean house by the law, and he walks through the door. He walks through the threshold. Why? Why did he do that? The law says don't do it. Why did he do that? Come on, talk to me. Why did he do that? He got a word. He got a word and said, go do it. Go. Go do this. I don't understand anything about the sheet. I don't understand. I went through that three times. I'm confused. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do with it. But I did hear the voice and say, go do this. So he went and did it. And he walked in the door. And as he walked in, he saw a gathering of people that Cornelius had already gathered in. He pulled in some people, mainly his family and friends, but he pulled people in. And Peter begins to tell them, he said, "I'm going to remind you guys of something that you know it's unlawful for a Jew to associate or even visit with a Gentile. You know that." And they knew that. But they allowed him to come in, and he walked right on in. And after that, he understands this has got something to do with that vision that I saw. What God is doing at this point in time is broadening who his family is going to be. Not just the Jewish anymore. Not just the Jews anymore. But he's widening the landscape of where he can dwell in people. And he does this. So, as Peter is preaching, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles in their worship and in their hearing and in their faith of hearing what Peter is saying. The Holy Spirit has the freedom to fall on all of them, even though they've been talked about as being unclean, don't associate with them, and they're unholy. But see, God is changing the landscape, and he's doing it by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is going to change landscape when you and I follow him. There's going to be landscapes that we go into that will be changed because we have such a heart to follow him and not follow the traditions of man. I want to be a landscape changer. How about you? So that's not going to come just by hearing a sermon. That's not going to come just by reading the Bible, which is all as important, all of it, and just not going to come just by praying. All of those things are vitally important. But it's going to come when we hear the Spirit of God and are led by him. So he makes the announcement. But see, the Jews that came with him were bothered. And then, you know, do you know, what is the best way to spread news? Who said that? Word of mouth. That's somebody that knows. Word of mouth. Just talk about it. Just tell one. The next hour, how many more know? Maybe 30. Who knows? Word of mouth. So word of mouth travels. So they know about it in Jerusalem. So Acts 11 says, the apostles and the brethren that were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. He's just doing what God wanted him to do, and his brethren took issue with him. What was the issue? The issue is this. They took issue, and they're saying, you went into an uncircumcised man's house, and you ate with him. So what are they following? The law. Are you catching this? The law is still prevalent in these people's lives, even though they have received Christ. You're beginning to see and beginning to look at one of the biggest things that hinders following the Holy Spirit or walking in the Spirit. Then Peter began to explain everything that happened in detail of what happened with the vision, what happened with Cornelius and about the sheet, and he told all of that. He told all of that to them. Then in verse 17 it says, okay, if God therefore gave them the same gift that he gave us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I? This is Peter. Who was I that I could stand in God's way? God's doing this thing, and he asked, you know, you see part of it in the Bible that they lay hands on the people and people receive the Spirit. He ain't laying hands on anybody. All he's doing is talking. He's just talking. And the Spirit of God fell on people that were unclean. The power of our words, saying the things that the Holy Spirit's saying, is the biggest power to change people's lives in a moment's notice. He does the work. We just yield. Walking in the Spirit. But this is what I love. And he said, he go on and said, and when he heard that, how am I going to stand in God's way? This is his deal. That's what this is his deal. I didn't go there to do that. I just showed up. This is what he told me to do. But this is his deal. This is what God's doing. And who am I to stand in his way? And he goes on and says, listen to this verse. And they say, and they quieted down and glorified God, and they said this, well then. I love that. Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Okay. They're saying, okay then. All right then. Then the Holy Spirit is falling on unclean people. I don't understand it. But well then, God's going to do that. Then we go to another 10 years to Acts 15. So it's been 20 years since the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecostal day, the day of Pentecost. And listen to this, 20 years. And some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. 20 years later, they're still carrying the same water that they're supposed to be turning loose of and drinking of the living water. 20 years later, they're still heralding the law. See, religion does that today. Religion tries to keep you under the law, keep you under the do's and don'ts, instead of under the freedom of grace and peace and mercy that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's alive today, and it's one of the biggest hindrances up for us to walk in the Spirit. So Paul is on the scene. He says, Paul and Barnabas, they have great dissension and a debate with these brothers. And then the brothers said, okay, we're going to send you and you two guys to Jerusalem, and you can deal with the apostles and the elders. And they'll deal, and it says, concerning this issue. So what are they wanting? They want to stay under the law. Paul is saying, mm-mm-mm, mm-mm. No. And he's accepted by the church and the apostles and the elders. And then there was a certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed. They stood up and said this: it is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the law of Moses. All I know is I wouldn't want to be there and in my 40s and accept Christ and they say, okay, now go get circumcised. But that's what they're saying. No matter how, no, you got to go get circumcised. But see, after following the law, unless you get circumcised, you're not of God. You can't be saved. Anyway, that's just my thinking. So, but one other thing here, but they look into the matter, and then after a debate, Peter stands up and he said, just in the earlier days, and he's talking about Acts 10. He said, in the earlier days, he stood up and gave what God had done in that time, 10 years before. And he said, God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. By faith. Now, here's another interesting verse. He says, you know, that they all kept silent. Paul gets bent out of shape, really he does. He's bothered about all of this that's happening because there's an understanding that Paul has over in Galatians and that he had written that book and of the Bible, and he tells them about, you know, being foolish of trying to start something in faith, but yet you're trying to finish it with your works. You started in your walk by faith. How is it that you want to think that you can even finish? You can. I can. But I know who does. Who is it? It's Jesus. Jesus is the author and the finisher. Who's going to finish your faith? He is. But see, if I'm going to continue my walk in God and walk by the Spirit of God, I am going to have to let him finish his work inside me, which means all I have to do is yield to him. It's not about the works that I do. From faith there comes works, but he is the finisher. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. This thing, you know, this thing, you know, I said, man, this world's going to come to an end. It'll come to an end in him. He is the ender. He is the beginning. He is the end. So Paul is looking at all these things and then they're saying, hey, we've got to do this thing about the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that God wanted the Gentiles? Wanting the Gentiles means he wanted you, unless you're Jewish. He wanted you. He made a way for you and I to be a part of him and him a part of us. But this thing got so strong in Paul's days that he was telling them that you do not need to be bewitched or deceived in this. He goes on and says, and this is over in Galatians 3, he goes on and says this: the only thing I want to know and find out from you is, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? That's the answer. That's the question we've got to answer. How did we start this life in Christ? It was by faith. And it's not the works of the law. And he said, how can you be that foolish? Having begun in the Spirit and by the Spirit, You are now trying to perfect yourself by the flesh. See, our flesh wants things that God doesn't want. The Bible says it's a war between our flesh and the Spirit of God. Our culture that we live in is, I don't want to do nothing except what I want to do. And if I don't feel like doing it, I'm not doing it. See, that's the culture that runs rampant. That thought process runs rampant. I'm not going to do that. See, that's not the way of God. That's flesh following. So he begins to say that you cannot start out in faith and try to end up in works, because our works without him, without faith, is dead. See, it's no good to us. But we understand that the biggest obstacle with you and I following the Spirit of God is going to be, I can do it on my own. It'd be another law, another thing that I'm going to depend upon. And he wants us to depend completely upon him. Sold out to him. Listening to what the Spirit of God has to say. He says, you have been made free, and Christ set you free to make you free. So stand firm and do not be subject again unto the yoke of slavery. The law is slavery. Trying to get under this thing, I got a checklist. I got to do the checklist thing. See, that's law. That's legalism. Because I'm depending upon my works of what I can do. So we're following a law, and the Spirit wants its own law. I'm not the Spirit. The flesh wants its own law, but there is a law of the Spirit of the living God. And it's just following him. So with this being told us, he says, you were running well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying him? And he says that the persuasion that you're under now does not come from him. He says, I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view except following the Spirit of God, not on your own doings. And he said, I have this confidence. He said, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his own judgment. Be careful if you try to put people under the law. Because there is a judgment that comes with that. When you try to take a free people and put them under the law to be slaves to the law. He said, there's a price to pay if you're leading people into that. But they're into it so much that this is one other thing that's sort of funny to me. But he said, I have confidence in whoever's disturbing you. Then in verse 12, he said, this is Paul. He's about to show you how bothered he is. You know, he said, would that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. One version says, he that is troubling you, I would that they would just cut themselves off. Hold on to your seat. Hold on to your seat. What is Paul saying here? They're making such a big deal out of circumcision, just cut it all off. Look it up. I'm telling you. He's bothered because he said, it's not going to help you by circumcision. Even if you cut it all off. Y'all do know what I'm talking about. I'm not giving an explanation. You know, but he's bothered about it. He said, oh, if you think that's going to work, just mutilate yourself. See, that's not the way of God. But Paul's bothered about it because these Judaizers and these teachers are wanting to put free people following the Spirit of God back under the law. And when you're under the law, you're not following the Spirit. There is your biggest hindrance. Not following the Spirit of God because we are following the legalistic view of religion and sometimes our flesh. He says, don't let your freedom that you have turn into legalism. Don't give it an opportunity for the flesh. The flesh wants its freedom to do whatever it wants to do. But Paul says, I die daily. Every day I have to die. What's he dying to? The flesh. And see, the thing is, he died. He didn't say, I die to my flesh every once in a while. About once a year. No, he said, every day. Every day. I die daily. What was his desire? To follow the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit of God. So that's the commitment that we need. Paul said, I labor, I continue to labor until you come to the fullness of Christ. I continue to labor until you become Christ-like. I continue to labor until Christ be formed in you. This is a process. This is not a one-time event. I'm going to go to church one time and mark it off. That's legalism. That's the law. That's the flesh. See, God wants to teach all of us and show all of us how to walk in the Spirit of God. But we're going to have to move away from legalism, that we can accomplish it. We can't. We never will. He started it. Guess what? He's going to finish it. He started your faith. He's going to finish your faith by leading you by the Spirit of God. On down in this passage, it talks about, but I say to you, he said, walk in love. See, it's hard to love people like Jesus unless you're being led by the Spirit of God. That's when you can love people. Your flesh will never love people like Jesus loved people. We got too many hang-ups. We got too many things that we don't like about people. We got way too many. But see, when we have the Spirit of God leading us and asking us and leading and teaching us how to love people that are unlovable, that's what the world's looking for. Looking for somebody that just don't talk about religion, but they're living out what Jesus has put in, being led by the Spirit of God. And that's where we are today. I want to be a landscape changer. How about you? I want to change the landscape in my family. I want to change the landscape in my neighborhood. I want to change the landscape in schools. Don't you? Wherever God's placed you to minister, that's your landscape. In your work, wherever you are, that's your landscape. Change that landscape by following and walking in the Spirit of God, and not by the flesh, and not by religion, and not by law. You know, somebody said, you know, I heard somebody else that came to me and said, ran into somebody else, said they would come to church here, but we got dancers. I told the person, I said, well, go back and tell them, I hope we have a bunch more. Worship in the arts is something that we cannot shut down. It's just a form of worship. It's a presentation of their body given to the Lord and not caring if you like it or not. Matter of fact, I talked to somebody this past week and he said, yeah, I've been watching you on live streaming. And I told my wife, he said, look, honey, they've got cheerleaders. I looked at him and I said, yeah, one thing about us, we'll do cheers for Jesus all day long. I said, but they're actually called worshipers, and they're just worshiping in dance. Oh, I said, that's it. I said, and I told him, I said, read your Bible. It's in there. Believe me. But see, you start making opinions, and then our flesh gets in the way, and we don't follow the Spirit because that's not the way I learned church. It wasn't the way they learned church either. They learned church by the law. But the Spirit of God changed the landscape. Amen. Let's let Him change our landscape here. And let's follow Him so He can use us being led by the Spirit to change the landscape in other people's lives. Don't complain about it. Love them. Be led by the Lord to love them. Okay, you can stand to your feet. Y'all need the Little Rascal song again? No? No. I really hope you got something out of it. But I do want to open the altar. I'd like for a few people to, if you go, pray, Pastor John, Pastor Elder Doug, Mike, and Kelly, you guys come up. If you need prayer, I want you to come up here. I don't know, you may need prayer for something that had nothing to do with the message. Let that be the Spirit of God leading you to come and get prayed for. But if you want God in your life, you want Jesus in your life, and you want to settle it today that I'm surrendering my life to Him, because I want to be a landscape changer too. But He's got to change me before He changes it, before He works through me to change. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for teaching us that even the disciples, even those first, that first church struggled getting away from the law. But they did. You moved in their lives and You opened their eyes. And You started with Peter saying, I'm going to show you something that you're not going to understand, but just follow Me. God's going to be showing us things by the Spirit of God that we don't know, but He's going to show it to us so we can change, so we can make a difference in somebody else's life. Lord, thank You again for Your mercy, Your goodness, and Your greatness, and Your love. Let this be a day that we mark down and we understand and we yield to a learning how to walk in the Spirit of God. For us not to walk in the flesh, not to walk in religion, but to walk by Your Spirit. We ask You to do that in our midst. We ask You to do that in our lives as we leave these doors. That You'll use us, that You'll speak to us, and we'll hear You plainly. Amen, amen. If you're at liberty to go, we're still praying for these down here, so please observe that. But you have freedom to go, and we love you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.